Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
I sold my car in Carvana last night.
Well, that's cool.
No, you don't understand. It went perfectly. Real offer down to the penny. They're picking it up tomorrow. Nothing went wrong.
So, what's the problem?
That is the problem. Nothing in my life goes as smoothly. I'm waiting for the catch.
Maybe there's no catch.
That's exactly what a catch would want me to think.
Wow, you need to relax.
I need to knock on wood. Do we have wood? Is this table wood?
I think it's laminate.
Okay, yeah, that's good. That's close enough.
Car selling without a catch. Sell your car today on
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
George Jones Museum on 2nd Avenue downtown.
Come on, baby, let's get it.
From the war room.
To come out quick. Be smart.
To the gridiron.
Everybody's gonna eat.
This is NFL Pregame. With Jared Stillman.
Hey, left.
Former NFL GM Floyd Reese.
How good you wanna be?
And former NFL wide receiver Chris Sanders.
Brought to you by
Middle Tennessee Kubota Dealers, Boom Boz Craft Pizza and Tap House, and wholesaling powered by RumbleOn.com.
From play one to the last play, we fight!
NFL Pregame starts now on Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
It is officially December. It is officially football time. It is officially the pregame show live from the George Jones on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, Floyd Reese out today.
Oh, Floyd is out?
Floyd's out today.
That extra piece of pie, right?
It could have been that. You know, you've seen the antacid commercials where all of a sudden you ate too much on Thanksgiving. You can't sleep that night. Next thing you know, you're out. So that's where we are with Floyd. Man. He's out today. But
yes, sir.
A huge game today against the Indianapolis Colts. This is what the NFL is about. All these teams jumbled in there together, somewhere at 6-5 or 7-4, and they're all playing each other. Cleveland is playing Pittsburgh today. The Titans, of course, are now playing Indianapolis. And Chris Sanders,
yes, sir.
This is a big game for a team that has been on a recent hot streak with Ryan Tannehill.
I mean, they've been hot. I mean, it all starts with the quarterback play. When Mariota was in there before, and I hate keep bringing his name up, but when you change quarterback and a quarterback, it brings that spark to the Tennessee Titans that the Tennessee Titans needed. I mean, it's kind of like having a box of matches, right? Once you light one, it's going to light all of them. And that's the same thing that Tannehill has brought to this team. He's brought fire. He's brought energy. He's brought passion. And we've been talking about it earlier about leadership. See, leadership is not running around grabbing people's face masks and screaming at them, telling them how they mama look. You don't need all that. Mm-hmm. He led by example. And when I say lead by example, look at what he did in the Kansas City game. I mean, when he runs through a safety's face, and look at how it energizes the players. Look at how it energizes the fans. And when you have a guy like that, and you pluck him in there, and he brings that energy and passion, you just feed off that, and that's exactly what the Tennessee Titans were missing.
When the Titans made the change at quarterback, Mike Vrabel said it was so much as looking for a spark as much as anything else. Mm-hmm. Clearly, Tannehill has been the spark that has helped the Titans. This is a game today where when you were 2-4, the idea of being on December 1st at 6-5 in a big game against Indianapolis, we knew the possibility existed. Mm-hmm. We just weren't really sure the Titans were going to be able to get there. Well, now they are there. And this seems to be a season kind of like last year, but maybe better than last year in the sense that it felt like the Titans were the whole season at the end trying to pull themselves back into the playoff race. They are clearly in the playoff race where we sit today, and today's game plays a huge part, especially for these two teams, as to who's going to be a contender down the stretch and who may be a pretender.
Yeah, you want to be playing your best ball in December, and I know this is a cliche on what I'm going to say. It's not about how you start, it's about where you finish. And the Tennessee Titans, they started slow. They were 2-4, but now they're putting themselves in position to make a run for the playoffs. And if you look at it in the year 2000, when we played that team that I don't even like to say on the air, is the Baltimore Ravens. Look at the Baltimore Ravens. When they got on a hot streak, they were playing good ball in December. Then it carried into the playoffs. It beat us. And then they went to the Super Bowl and win. There's no difference with this Tennessee Titans team. You want to be playing good ball in December. You want to be running the ball well. You want to have a consistent quarterback. You want to have a great defense, and you want to make plays all through facets of the game. And that's exactly what the Tennessee Titans are doing. So you just never know what happened. But when you get in the playoffs, it's 0-0. It don't matter how you got there. It don't matter if you start off 2-4. It don't matter if you start off 1-6. You get into the playoffs, it's 0-0, and the Tennessee Titans are playing their best ball in December.
What do you think of the situation they're in right now? December 1st, one game out of a playoff spot. I mean, you make of what you will about the one game out of a playoff spot. Cleveland, who beat Pittsburgh 2 weeks ago, and obviously the Myles Garrett game. Mm-hmm. Pittsburgh plays Cleveland today. Pittsburgh's turning to their third-string quarterback. Yeah. They currently occupy the sixth seed in the playoffs. Indianapolis is ahead of the Titans by virtue of the tiebreaker that they had in week two. That tiebreaker goes away if the Titans win today, and the Titans will be a game ahead of Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. And then Oakland's in the mix there as well, but the Titans, of course, play Oakland next mm-hmm. week. So what do we make of the current playoff situation for the Titans? I look at this game as one of those seesaw games that if you get this game, that not to say that like last week's game wasn't important or all these other games aren't important, but this game seems to be one that is kind of a separator as far as the playoffs may be concerned.
You know, who said that quote where it said, just win, baby?
Al Davis.
Al Davis. You can control your destiny. I mean, last year when we were in the situation where we're in, we had to beat the Indianapolis Colts to get into the playoffs. If we just win this game, we win the Raiders, we beat, we played
the Texans
twice. If we just win all our games, we control our own destiny. So we don't have to worry about if Cleveland win or Pittsburgh win or Houston does, all that crazy stuff. If they just win the game that they're supposed to win on Sunday, then they put themselves in position and win the playoffs. We don't need to be in, or the Tennessee Titans don't need to be in a position for somebody have to win or they have to lose or have to have a tie. You don't need that. All you have to do is win game by game, put your seven position win, and now you control your destiny.
Now let's turn to this Colts team. Indianapolis is a good football team. Yeah. I think you and I would both agree with that. But remember when we sat up here about a year ago, a little bit under a year ago, and we looked at a Week 17 game where Marcus Mariota wasn't going to be able to play at quarterback, and we looked at it and said, the Titans might have a chance, but... Well, here come the Indianapolis Colts. Andrew Luck is retired. Marlon Mack has a broken hand. He's out. Eric Ebron has an ankle injury. He's gone to IR. He's out. T.Y. Hilton has a calf injury. He's out. The injuries are piling up for Indianapolis. That doesn't guarantee the Titans are going to win this game.
Right.
But I think it reminds me an awful lot of the situation the Titans found themselves in Week 17, where we knew they were undermanned going into that game with Blaine Gabbert. Indianapolis goes in today completely undermanned offensively without guys going into the season we thought were probably their four best offensive players outside of Quentin Nelson.
You know, the one person that really scares me in this game is not a player. It's their head coach, Frank Wright. And the reason why I say that is because he's going to have this team prepared. And if you look at last year, I think it was last year when they started 1-5, they had two choices to get better, and this team got better. So now they're behind the eight ball, and they understood how to face adversity. They have a lot of adversity. I mean, T.Y. Hilton's out, Ebron's out, Mack is out. But they still have some playmakers. Some other guys are going to have to step up. You got Parrish Campbell, Pascal. You got Rodgers. You got Hines. You got Williams. You got guys.
How many plays have those guys made?
But see, that doesn't make – the reason why they haven't made that many plays is because those guys are in front of them. So these guys are going to have to step up. I know, you know, they're not a T.Y. Hilton. They're not an Ebron. But you got to remember, Parrish Campbell's from The Ohio State University, who smashed Michigan yesterday. So they still have some playmakers. I mean, I think we can't go in this game thinking, oh, T.Y. Hilton's out, Ebron's out, you know, Mack is out. We're definitely going to win. We still got to go into a hostile environment. I think Frank Reich is going to have this team ready, prepared on offense, defense, special teams. So we can't go in there thinking that we're going to win when we got a big test in front of us.
Well, I don't think you can go into the game thinking that you're going to win.
Right.
But I do think that you can go into and look at the Colts and say that offense that has given you fits over time. I mean, the Colts scored, 15 points the first time these two teams played? I mean, it wasn't like the Colts lit it up. But that offense, I mean, that is Jacoby Brissett and a lot of guys that we really don't know about. I mean, Zach Pascal, what's Zach Pascal's
done?
I mean,
man.
Zach Pascal got cut by the Titans.
Okay.
Like, he was a practice squad guy, and he's been the fifth receiver in Indianapolis, and now he's in a role where he's going to play, but he's not T.Y. Hilton. Yeah, T.Y. Hilton may end up in the Hall of Fame. I mean, there's a difference between
true.
The two.
But here's the thing. The thing about it is, I think Dean Pease, and I'm not you know, thinking he's going to do this, but I'm thinking he will do this, is they're going to load the box and try to stop the run. So what is the Tennessee Titans going to do? They're going to play cover one. Cover one is, you know, man-to-man across the board. And you have a safety over top. So now it puts pressure on the on our cornerbacks. Adoree's going to have to play. Logan's going to have to play. So Parrish Campbell can run, man. I'm telling you, that dude ran, what, he ran 4.32 in the combine? So all he got to do, it's not about running the comeback. It's not about running the slant. If you go man-to-man with me and y'all sitting in the Tennessee Titans sitting in the house, I'm throwing deep to Parrish Campbell because who on the Tennessee Titans defense can run with Parrish Campbell?
Why do they have to load the box to stop the run?
Because that's exactly where their bread and butter has been this year for the Indianapolis Colts. You know, I know Mac's not hurt, but you still got two home run hitters. You got Williams and Hines, and actually can do the same thing that Mac can do. So I understand those guys are gone. I understand that those are big players that are gone, but there's still some players that – potentially can still hurt the Tennessee Titans.
Parrish Campbell's career high in an NFL game. Parrish Campbell's career high, 5 catches for 53 yards.
Okay.
A.J. Brown had 100 more yards than that last week.
Okay, let's break it down. I'm gonna be coach. I'm gonna be
Floyd
Reese for a second. It's about opportunities.
hasn't played since November 3rd.
Why? Because T.Y. Hilton was in there, right? T.Y. Hilton.
I think T.Y. missed a game.
He missed a game. Okay, missed a game.
I think Campbell's been hurt.
Okay, Campbell. Well, regardless of he's been hurt, if he gets opportunities, this guy is a great run after the catch. Even if he doesn't hit you home run, he can catch those shallow crosses, what he did at The Ohio State University. And then also Rodgers, he's not a big and physical guy, but he's one of those guys that can stretch the field. So I understand that those guys are out. But you still have some playmakers on this.
I'm not saying the Titans can't lose to the Colts.
Right.
I've seen the Titans do crazy things, especially to the Colts in my life. Mm-hmm. But no Mac, no Ebron, no Hilton, no Luck, no excuses.
I agree, but here's where the game's going to be won. It's going to be won in the trenches. And
I so disagree with that.
How's that?
Because the Titans have been winning right now. And look, the offensive line has been okay.
True.
But the offensive line hasn't been good. And the Titans have still been winning games.
Okay.
Tannehill's still been getting sacked. They're still getting blown up at times.
Mm-hmm.
But the Titans have been winning games because the guys on the outside,
true,
who we haven't thought much about, have been playing great. Mm-hmm. A.J. Brown.
No doubt.
Derrick Henry has been running great at the second level.
Mm-hmm. No doubt.
Like, those kind of guys have been making a difference. Logan Ryan has had a great season, as has Vaccaro. Byard's had a good mm-hmm. season. I mean, the secondary guys – I just don't see the Colts scoring 20 points on the Titans' defense without any of their big offensive players outside of Brissett.
Okay, I'm going to break it down. I'm going to do some football 101. Look at our D-line. Okay, you got Landry, Simmons, Casey. Their O-line. You got Nelson, Kelly, Smith, Golowski, however you pronounce it.
Glowinski.
Glowinski. That's going to be a physical battle inside of itself. And when you have that physical battle inside itself and they control the ball, and all of a sudden they score a touchdown, they have a 10 or 12 play drive, and they score a touchdown, then all of a sudden we stop them once or twice on defense. Now you look up, it's 21-0. How did the Tennessee Titans come back? That's the point that I'm making. I'm not saying that's going to happen.
I just don't know how you get up 21 points if you don't have your offenses. Like, but if the Titans are going to get up 21 points, how do you think they're going to do it? Derrick Henry, A.J. Brown,
right.
Jonnu Smith. Like their main guys. Indy doesn't have those guys out
but
there.
But see, today. We're going by what kind of by what we're familiar with. Yeah, we know T.Y. Hilton, we know Ebron, and we have Mac. We know those guys. Those guys are playmakers. But behind those guys, you got Parrish Campbell, you got Pascal, and you got Rodgers, guys that are capable of making those plays. I'm telling you, this is one of those games that, you know, when I heard that T.Y. Hilton was out, I'm on Facebook and everybody's talking about we're definitely gonna win because those guys are out. Those guys got drafted because they do some special things. And I think Parrish Campbell is the person that scares me on this Indianapolis Colts because he can stretch the field, he can run after the catch, and then you have Rodgers, who's a guy that can catch a bubble pass and catch a screen when the Tennessee Titans blitz and take it the distance. That's the only thing that I'm scared about. I'm not saying that the Colts are going to win. I'm not saying that. I believe in my heart that the Tennessee Titans are going to win. But it's not going to be a lopsided victory, what we think.
We'll take a look at the four downs on the other side. The four biggest topics surrounding today's game. We are live from the George Jones. The GM is out. Chris Sanders, Jared Stillman. It's the pregame show on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Jared and Chris Sanders live from the George Jones, hanging out here, of course, today on the pregame show, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Floyd Reese is out. It is time for us to go four downs now, presented by your Middle Tennessee Kubota dealers. And, Chris, we, of course, start with first down.
First down.
Let the big dog eat. Derrick Henry this season has been lighting it up. And last year, obviously, Chris, was a December to remember for Henry. Yeah. He's gotten started in November this year as he follows up his 188-yard performance against the Chiefs with a huge performance last week against the Jacksonville Jaguars. 19 carries for 159 yards. On. If you can believe this, he actually averaged more yards per carry against the Jags than he did against the Chiefs. Two touchdowns for Derrick Henry in each of his last two games. He also had one catch for 16 yards. Derrick Henry has been the difference maker he was at the end of last year. Chris,
yeah.
What do we think of Derrick Henry against the Colts? And what do we think about Derrick Henry of late?
You know, just watching him in the last four or five games, and he's become, and I said this last week, he's become a patient runner. You know, if you look at last year when he started the beginning of the season, he would try to, you know, try to bounce everything outside and just try to make things happen on the perimeter. But look at what he's doing now. He's making one cut and he's going and he's falling forward. And if you look at when he played the Jags last week or the week before, nobody wanted to tackle him in the third and fourth quarter, and that's the kind of back that you want to be. He's bruising. He's vicious. He runs with a lot of passion, and he's running with the edge. And I think last year when Eddie George had a nice talk to him and said, "Man, hey, listen, you're 240-some pounds. You're 6'3". Quit running soft." And I think that really tugged his heart to say, "You know what? I am a big guy. I am a physical presence. Now I need to go out there and prove it." And from that day on, he's been playing with an edge, and he just looks like a totally different back. And when we play against the Colts today, I think he's got to maintain that same confidence as he's been playing with the last four or five weeks, running through the hole, not wasting any time, not losing yards, hit your foot in the ground, and just go north and south and just make some plays.
What do you think of his technique as a runner? I mean, I know you didn't play running back, but when he gets going, it feels like that second level, he's unstoppable. What is he doing now that is getting him to the second
level? What he's doing, he's just making one move and going. I mean, if you look at last year, he was trying to dance in the pocket and dance and try to make something happen. He found out real quick in this league, you can't dance. You cannot dance. You got to make one cut and go. Look at Adrian Peterson, I'm not comparing him to Adrian Peterson. When Adrian Peterson sees the hole, he attacks it and he's going. That's exactly what Henry's doing now. As opposed to dancing and trying to hit everything on the outside, he's making one cut and he's going. And another thing that I love that he's doing is he's finishing the doggone run. When I say finishing the doggone run, that means if that safety or that corner is trying to go low, he is low on his shoulder. He said, "I'm running through you," and he's running through those guys' lips. And that's exactly why I love to see Henry go get him.
Derrick Henry, of course, lighting it up, the FedEx Ground Player of the Week. That takes us to second down.
Second down.
Indianapolis has been a house of horrors for the Tennessee Titans in the last decade. So we're going to go 10 full years.
10 years.
In the last decade, the Titans have won at Indianapolis one time. It was 2 years ago, a year in which Indianapolis ended up picking third. And the scores, not very close. At Indianapolis, they lost 27-17, 23-20, 27-13, 27-23, 22-14, 41-17. 30-24, 24-17, 38-10 last year. And so not only have the Titans not been great at home against the Colts, but they have been terrible, Chris Sanders,
yes,
on the road at Indianapolis. Today the Titans have got to find a way to get it done.
I mean, they're going to have to start fast. If you look at the games that they played that they lost against the Broncos, the Jags, and the Bills. What's the common denominator? They started slow. And when you're going to go play the Colts, you go and you start slow, they're going to put points on you. I know they don't have their playmakers that we keep talking about, but this is a team that can kill you. They got to go down there and start fast if they're on offense, if they're on defense. I don't even care if they're on special teams. They have to start fast, especially with offense. They need to, if they get the ball at the 20-yard line, they need to have an 80-play drive with a 10 and 12 plays, and take a lot of time off the clock and don't just settle for just field goals. They have to get touchdowns. Now it takes the crowd out of the game. Now it puts the Indianapolis Colts behind the eight ball because they don't have their playmakers. But if they start slow, get on offense, get a three and out, the Indianapolis Colts start fast, all of a sudden they get a touchdown, you keep the crowd in it, you give them confidence, then now you're behind the eight ball, and that's the Tennessee Titans definitely don't want that.
That happened to the Titans in the first game here at Nissan Stadium.
Yeah.
Another side of the equation, I think, in a lot of this, too, is kind of quieting the crowd early.
Yeah.
Even if you're not scoring points. Even if, you know, if you're up 21-0, that's great. But quiet the crowd early.
Yes.
Even if it's a three-point game or a tied game, and kind of take them out of it.
Mm-hmm. You know what a quieter crowd really, really good is? Converting third downs. Mm-hmm. If you look at last time, they were 1-for-10. I mean, the 1-for-10 on third down, that's not going to get it. So if they go down there and start it, shoot, let me just put it back. Start at the dog on 15. I mean, start there and have a long drive and convert third down after third down after third down after third down after third down. Then all of a sudden you get a touchdown. And then all of a sudden the defense gets the ball. If the defense stops their offense and then all of a sudden you get the ball back and now it's 10-0, that crowd is going to be quiet, so you don't have to worry about the crowd. You just got to worry about getting points at the points and dominating the Indianapolis Colts.
That takes us to third down.
Third down.
The Tennessee Titans, for whatever reason, are 4-1 since Ryan Tannehill yeah. took over at quarterback. Tannehill has been lighting it up. Even if the passing numbers aren't 350 per game, his passer rating since he took over as starter is second in the National Football League. Tannehill has been outstanding, except for fumbling the football, which has been a little bit of yeah. an issue. But this year, Ryan Tannehill has proved a lot of people, or is proving a lot of people wrong, who wrote him off after his stint in Miami. Chris Sanders, yeah. what have you seen out of Ryan Tannehill? 72% completion percentage. He's got 10 touchdowns and almost 1,500 yards on the season.
You know, I know everybody's talking about he's throwing the ball well, he's anticipating the receiver coming out to break and throwing the ball with accuracy. I know that's great, but the one element that I love about him is he's using his feet at the right time. I mean, look at the touchdowns that he made last week. He made it. He ran a boot. He could have threw the ball, but he saw that there was nothing there. What'd he do? He ran it in, and then he jumped over two people to make a touchdown. Then on the second touchdown, he did the exact same thing. The defense took away the pass, and he ran the ball. So he's throwing the ball well. He's putting the ball in the playmaker's hands, but he's bringing another element to the Tennessee Titans. Is he's running with the ball, and he's not making mistakes, and he's using his feet to make those plays.
I think the thing about Tannehill, too, is Derrick Henry was asked after the game about the touchdown, the one where he dove into the end zone and took on the two Jags players for the touchdown. And Derrick Henry was asked and said, "Ryan's balling." And for a guy who doesn't say much,
that makes a lot.
That says everything yeah. to me about what those guys in that locker room yeah. think of Ryan Tannehill right now.
And he's bringing energy and passion to this Tennessee Titans when it was so well needed. I mean, look at what happened when it was 7-3. Okay, when it was 7-3, then all of a sudden he makes that one touchdown. Look at how everybody fed off him. Then all of a sudden you have Henry with a 74-yard touchdown. Then a fumble recovery by Bates. Then a 65-yard touchdown from A.J. Brown.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're feeding off your leader. When they're feeding off your leader and your leader is not just running down the sideline screaming, he's leading by example. By one, throwing the ball with accuracy. Two, by using his feet. And then bringing a toughness at the quarterback position. So when you have your quarterback that is a tough mojo, that has some mojo in him, then you're going to feed off that. And look at how it fed, not just on the offense, it fed on the defense, and also fed on the special teams.
And that takes us to fourth and final down.
Fourth down.
Fourth down, of course, the special teams down. Chris, how about the Titans special teams of late?
Oh,
Josh Kalu blocks the kick to beat the Kansas City
yeah.
Chiefs. And then last week against Jacksonville, a good kickoff return from Khalif yeah. Raymond. And, of course, maybe the play of the game,
mm-hmm.
Darren Bates
yes,
strips
sir.
The returner for Jacksonville, gets the football. Mm. Derrick Henry, coming off of a 74-yard touchdown run, runs in a 7-yard touchdown run on the next play. The Titans score 3 touchdowns
wow.
in 3 offensive plays. But the special teams, which has been an issue
yeah.
this year, special teams starting to turn the corner.
That's why it's called special teams, because you do something special. And we saw that last week with Bates. I mean, that was the game was still close before Bates got that fumble.
It was 7-3 when Henry made his run to make
exactly.
it 14-3, so it's only 14-3.
Exactly.
And or with the Kelly.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, the next thing you know, now it's 21-3, and it's a totally different ball game.
I mean, it's a totally different. Then also just put, you know, Raymond in the mix. He's been making some good kickoff returns since he's been in that position. But the only thing that still concerns me a little bit is our field goal and PAT. I mean, that's the only thing that concerns me, and it might come down to that. It's going to be suck up against Vinatieri. So we're going to see. And if you look at Vinatieri, he's 16 from 21 but with field goals, and he's 20 for 26 on PATs. So it just tells you that every point counts, every down on special team counts. So we can't – the Tennessee Titans got to make sure that what they've been doing the last couple of weeks on special teams, they got to do exactly what the Indianapolis Colts this week.
Special teams, and I have been very critical of special teams.
You're critical with everything, buddy.
But I will say this, special teams the last 2 weeks has been an unexpected bright spot.
It has.
For the Tennessee Titans. And I think in a game like this, against Kansas City, you had to have the special teams play or else you will not win. Against Jacksonville, you maybe didn't need it, but it did win you the game.
Yeah.
You're going to need special teams today.
Yeah, I mean, look at around the league. Look at the teams that are losing by 1 and 2 points, and it all comes down to a special teams play. You know, and I think the Tennessee Titans, you know that, and I think they're really taking it serious. I'm not saying they didn't take it serious before, but when you take special teams seriously and you be in practice and you focus on the little details, it can cost your game or lose your game. Look exactly what the Tennessee Titans last week. In a momentum changer, when you have Bates, you know, get a fumble on kickoff return, it just takes the momentum out of the team. And if the Tennessee Titans can consistently do that on special teams, now you have a recipe for success.
Coming up next, we take a look at the offensive keys to the game.
Let's
what
go.
Do the Titans have to do if they're going to score on this Indianapolis defense? Something they didn't do very well in week two when they played the Colts. That's coming up next, live from the George Jones. It is the pregame show. Floyd Reese out, Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, ESPN 102.5, the game. It is time to take a look at the offensive keys as part of our taking a look at crafting the offensive playbook presented by Boom Boss on the pregame show. The Titans offense, Chris Sanders,
yes, sir,
has been a different unit with Ryan Tannehill at quarterback. You go back earlier in the season to some of the games the Titans were scoring points in, and they had 7 points against Jacksonville. They had 17 against Indy the first time around, 7 against Buffalo, nothing against Denver, and since then 23, 27, 20, 35,
ooh,
and 40.
Let's go. Let's go.
Last week against the Jacksonville Jags. The Indianapolis Colts defense, though, is pretty underrated in the NFL. Still a question as to whether or not Rock Ya-Sin is going to play, but the Colts are 12th in points allowed and 13th in total yards. What are the keys today for the Titans? What is the game plan offensively if they're going to continue their success on the road against Indianapolis?
I mean, number one, it's going to have to start with the offensive line. You got Kelly, you got Jones, you got Conklin, you got Saffo going against Houston, Autry, Shiard, and Leonard. They're going to have to protect Tannehill. I mean, I know we're talking about Henry running the ball. Yeah, he's going to have to run the ball. But they're going to have to protect Tannehill. And if Tannehill can have a clean pocket, get the ball to your playmakers and let those guys make plays, I think the Tennessee Titans can be successful. And then also, they're going to have to start fast. I mean, I know we say that every week in and out, but if the Tennessee Titans start fast, if they get the ball, get a 10-12 play drive, and get touchdowns, I think the Tennessee Titans can be successful. And then another thing they definitely have to do is they got to make sure they convert third downs. If they convert third downs on offense and make sure that they keep that momentum going with Derrick Henry and Tannehill, I think the Tennessee Titans can be successful.
Now, the Titans didn't start particularly fast last week against Jacksonville. In fact, it was a nothing-nothing game with 7 minutes to go in the first half. They ended up scoring 42 points in the game. I do wonder if the Titans' defensive or offensive mentality should be chip, 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 but don't get upset, don't get crazy, and then wait in the second half for Derrick Henry to make his move.
I mean, that's exactly what happened with the Jacksonville Jaguars last week, is they wasn't getting those big yards early. But if you look at it in the second half, when you start wearing that defensive front down and getting to the second level, those defensive backs are not going to want to tackle Henry. And I think the Tennessee Titans have to be patient, because there's going to be times where it's going to be second and eight or maybe third and ten. But they still got to try to keep chipping away, chipping away, chipping away until that bridge breaks. And I think if the Tennessee Titans can do that, be patient, I think they'll definitely be successful.
In the first game these two teams played against each other, and, of course, it was early in the season, so a lot has changed between now and then. Taylor Lewan did not play in that game because of the suspension. Nate Davis did not play in that game because he was injured. But if you go back to that game and you look at what the Titans did offensively, It wasn't very pretty.
No.
The Titans had only 18 first downs for the game. They had 124 rush yards, which was okay, but only 154 passing yards. They were sacked four times. They did not convert on third downs. One of 10 and 0 of 1 on fourth down, and they only held the ball for 28 minutes. Flash forward to today.
Yeah.
What is the biggest difference between what the Titans were doing then and what the Titans are doing now? And does that make you confident about the offense today against an Indianapolis team that does have a pretty right. decent defense?
It's consistent at the quarterback play. I mean, I know it's not rocket science. It's because your quarterback is playing at a high level. He's connecting on 72% on his passes. That just shows you that he's being consistent and he's protecting the football. I know he had a couple of fumbles. I know he made a couple of mistakes. But look at all the games that he's played in. He's played consistent. He's put the ball on the hands of the receiver. He hasn't thrown into the secondary. It all goes back to what your quarterback does. And I think he's been playing consistent, and that's why the Tennessee Titans are 4-1 in his last five games.
Somebody else who's turning around, and the Titans haven't had a ton of success as a franchise with rookie wide receivers.
Stop it.
Since 1995.
Okay, thank you.
They have not had a lot of success with rookie wide receivers. A.J. Brown.
He's a dude.
I mean,
man.
At first, A.J. Brown was doing things that the only other person in recent franchise history had done is Chris Sanders.
Thanks,
now, he's even doing things that Chris Sanders didn't necessarily do as a rookie wide receiver. A.J. Brown, offensive rookie of the week this week in the AFC, 150 receiving yards. I was telling people the other day, Chris, I said, he's like Derrick Henry.
Uh-huh.
You know, not every catch he makes, he's going to break to the house. But A.J. Brown, he has had a bunch of a huge plays this season. And there, it's not the deep ball. It's a different kind of pass compared to you. It's the short pass where he just takes off and he's gone, Derrick Henry. A.J. Brown, I think, is really becoming a weapon. I don't know if it's Tannehill. Mm. I don't know if it's the play calling that is setting A.J. Brown up for this.
Right.
But A.J. Brown and Jonnu Smith's had a nice little run here, and Ferkser has helped out. And, like, a lot of guys have elevated their game since Tannehill's taken over. But A.J. looks like a budding superstar sometimes.
But you know why A.J. Brown is doing really good? It starts off with the run. I mean, because the running game is doing well. So if the running game is doing well, then that extra safety has to come down in the grid and take away the run. So now it's one-on-one outside. And the one thing I love that he does, because I went back and studied him, is he's physical at the line of scrimmage. I mean, he is strong, he's mean, and he's a pretty good route runner. But when he catches the ball, he makes something happen. And that just shows you that he could be a number one wide receiver, not just because he can catch the deep ball. I know he can catch the deep ball, but when he catches a slant and takes it 65, when he's in the Atlanta game, he catches a slant and takes it another 58 yards. Mm-hmm. It just shows you he's not just a deep ball. He's a guy that can rack up yards by catching those little five-yard hitches, just catching those slants and taking them the distance. That's what makes him a number one wide receiver.
How does his success of late change how defenses have to defend him, and how does that open it up for the other receivers?
Oh, it's huge. I mean, not just open up for the other receivers, but when he starts catching those passes, that means another safety's got to come over and take him out of the game. So if another safety takes him out of the game, you give it to Henry. That's a less guy than Henry has a run over. So it opens up everybody. So now if he starts to get double coverage, you said it, you know, a little earlier, Janu can catch the ball. I don't know if Shannon Sharp's going to be healthy enough to play. I don't know if he's playing.
Tajay Sharp. TD, I talked to TD, and we'll talk to TD later. Okay. TD tells me he thinks Tajay Sharp's going to be good to go.
Then that's huge, because now when you're doubling that wide receiver, everybody. Did I say Shannon Sharp?
Shannon Sharp.
But that's what makes
I'll take Shannon right now on this team. Shannon. Put Shannon in his prime out there.
Oh, my, he's a dude. But look at going back to A.J. Brown, what receiver does he remind you of? Bolden. Bold, big physical guy, not really fast, but when they catch the ball, they're going to make something happen, and that's why that cat is special.
What has Tannehill done with these receivers? Because, like, Floyd and I were talking about this, and the way he distributes the ball, that if Humphreys is the guy for the ball, Humphreys gets it. If Ferkser's the guy for the you can tell he's not playing favorites out there.
No,
he doesn't have a go-to target. He just throws the ball where it's supposed to go. And yet I feel like the entire receiving core has elevated their game. And Floyd has said that if a quarterback goes out there and has shown that he's not playing favorites, it makes everybody do their job on every single snap.
But he expects everybody to run their route the proper way. I mean, if you look at – I mean, we talked about this earlier. You know, A.J. Brown may catch 150 like he did last week. you may have Humphreys catch 9 this week. He's just putting the ball, whatever the defense gives him, and he's putting it in the hands of the guys that are making plays, and A.J. Brown is making plays. I mean, look at Humphreys when he caught the pass to beat the Kansas City Chiefs. He's putting the ball where only the receiver can make the play, and that's why Tannehill is making this team go from to average to an elite offense in the league.
What do we think about the Colts' defense? Of course, again, they're middle of the pack when it comes to the rest of the league, mm-hmm. but they're not a good defense technically. They're not a bad defense, but especially in the secondary, yeah. they've got some guys who have played pretty well. And everybody knows Malik Hooker, high right. draft pick, mm-hmm. has had a really great start to his career. Clayton Gathers, the other safety, has been a big-time playmaker. On top of that, Rock Ya-Sin is yeah. questionable to play today, but it looks like he may go for Indianapolis. And at the other corner, Pierre Desir has just signed a big new contract. They've got a secondary that I think is going to challenge Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah, I mean, they do have a secondary, but what makes this defense really, really good is their front. I mean, you have Houston, Autry, and Leonard. That's a fast defense. They may not be big up front and, you know, kind of the big defensive lines that we've been going against, but they're a fast and physical defense. I mean, if you look at what we're going to have to do, Tannehill's going to have to get the ball out quick. It's not going to be, you know, a 5- and 7-step drop to where he can throw and then kind of survey the field. He's going to have to get the ball out quick because this is an experienced defense. They're fast and they're physical, and they're going to make you make mistakes as opposed to you trying to make plays.
I do wonder in this football game what they're going to give the Titans. Are they going to take away AJ and take away the run, and then all of a sudden does that open it up for Corey Davis? Mm-hmm. Jonnu Smith and Anthony Firkser, the tight ends, is that going to be what they're going to give? We know that Matt Eberflus and the Colts like to run that Tampa 2. That probably means Derrick Henry's going to be able to get some mm-hmm. 5-yard gains and 6-yard gains. Going against the Tampa 2, it limits the deep ball. Good thing for the yeah, Titans. Yeah. They don't throw the deep ball yeah. a lot. How does that kind of affect what may be available for Tannehill?
I just think that the Colts are going to do what they do. When I say do what they do, they're going to stick to their identity. They're going to pressure you up front, and they're not going to let you beat them deep and stay in that cover two. Now, if Henry starts gashing, and they may get out of that cover two and go to cover three or cover one. But as of surveying his defense and going over their defense, that's not what they do. That's not what they want. They want to pressure you up front and let you throw those short passes, and they come up and tackle you. So that benefits A.J. Brown. If A.J. Brown can catch a pass, a slant, even if it's cover two or cover four, he catches it and makes somebody miss like he did last week, it benefits A.J. Brown. So Tannehill, get the ball out quick, get his A.J. Brown, and let him run yards after catch.
Let's flip it to the other side. Let's take a look at the Titans' defense. They have been playing great as of late. Indianapolis coming into today. Really looking to load up considering what they're missing. We'll get to that next. It's live from the George Jones. We take a look at the defensive side of the field with the defensive playbook presented by Boom Boss Craft Pizza and Tap House. It is the pregame show. Chris Sanders, Jared Stillman, Floyd Reese out. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Time to take a look at the defensive side of the ball for the Titans on the pregame show against the Indianapolis Colts. And if you're Dean Pease, Chris Sanders,
yes,
and
sir.
I know that all the football people, the Floyds, the Dean Peases, the Belichicks, the Vrabels, the Chris Sanders, that they look at Indianapolis. Say T.Y. Hilton is out today, which, okay. of course, T.Y. Hilton will be out, as is Eric Ebron, as is Marlon Mack. And, of course, Andrew Luck retired before the season started. Mm-hmm. And you would say, wow. Look at all these guys who are out today mm-hmm. for the Indianapolis Colts. And you'd feel great about it. But at the same time, it doesn't mean you're going to practice less hard. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that you're going to take it easy on the Colts because T.Y. Hilton is out today. Mm-hmm. But the fact that Jacoby Brissett goes into this game mm-hmm. without Hilton, without their number one running back, maybe a top five running back in the league in mm-hmm. Marlon Mack, mm-hmm. and without a Titan killer and Eric Ebron, has to make a world of difference when analyzing the Colts' offense.
I mean, it does, but just like I said a little earlier, they still have some playmakers. I know you kind of give me a smirk like, yeah, right. They got Paris Campbell.
I'll give you Jack Doyle.
Jack Doyle, man, run about a 7.5 in the 40.
He
won't kill you. He'll make some plays.
But he's an established NFL
guy.
The other guys, I mean, Parrish Campbell's career high is 5 for 50.
Okay. Now, if he lights the Tennessee Titans up for 200 yards, I want an apology on the air.
If he lights the Titans up for 200 yards, Vrabel's got to start really evaluating what's going on with that
offense. Yeah, but you got to remember, Ohio State produces great receivers. I mean, you got Joey Galloway, Chris Sanderson. He went to The Ohio State University, so he's going to be all right.
I'm not a Joey Galloway fan.
Joey Galloway can play a little ball a little bit.
No, he's a good player, but is he?
We were roommates for 5 years.
Is he a good dude?
He's a good dude. He's got a little arrogance.
All right.
Yeah, but I mean, just like what we talked about, the Indianapolis Colts, I know their playmakers aren't there, T.Y. Hilton, Ebron, and Mack. But look at the running back, the two running backs that emerged on their team, Williams and Hines. I mean, if you look at Williams last week, he was 26 for 104. So he's one of those guys that are capable of making those plays and capable of doing the things that the Indianapolis Colts want him to do. So
had the big run against the Titans in week two.
No doubt.
It changed the entire game.
And he's really, really fast and he's explosive. So we can't go in, and the Tennessee Titans can't go in there thinking, okay, Mack is out, where are we going to stop the run? They still have to play defense. They're still going to have to put pressure on Brissett, and they're still going to have to stop the run. So there's still some playmakers on this team, but they just got to go in there and be physical from top to bottom.
One thing Jacoby Brissett did a lot of against the Titans in week two that he's not really known for. Brissett doesn't want to run.
At all.
I think sometimes what happens for whatever reason, and I'm not saying what the reason may be. I don't know, Chris, mm-hmm. but sometimes people we'll look at a quarterback like Brissett, and they'll just assume that he wants to run or something like that. Brissett does not want
Zero
to run.
Chance.
But he is capable of it. And against the Titans in week two, Brissett had a handful of scrambles that just absolutely gutted the Titans. I mean, I know one of them was a little fourth and short, and Brissett snuck it forward. But Jacoby Brissett had 7 rushes for 25 yards in that game, and I believe converted 2 critical third and longs with his legs in that football game. I believe Brissett today is more likely to want to pull it down and run in critical situations than maybe he would be in the past for 2 reasons. Right. 1, all the guys who are out, and 2, the fact that it has worked in the past against the Titans.
I think that, with him, doing what he did, I think it was more of the Titans' fault than him wanting to run.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I say that is because we missed tackles. I mean, we were right there.
Ain't got no pressure on him.
No pressure. And then when we got pressure on him, we missed the tackles, and all of a sudden he runs for 5 and 10 yards and converts third down. You made a good point that he doesn't want to run. The one thing that he does want to, that he wants to do is he wants to extend the play. And when he extends the play, he can let those receivers get open. He can let Jack Doyle, work his magic by finding a hole in the defense. So, yeah, he doesn't want to run. He wants to extend the play so they can make plays downfield and let those guys get the ball and make plays.
The other side of that is the pressure. They did not get a lot of pressure on Brissett in week two. Harold Landry has 8 sacks on the season, which is good. But outside of that, what are they going to do to get pressure on Brissett? Are we happy with the amount of pressure the Titans are getting on opposing quarterbacks, or do we still think there's a lot to be desired, and is that a worry today against Indianapolis?
It's not a worry, but there's 2 guys that definitely need to step up. Is number 1 is Simmons. Simmons played, I think, 1 or 2 good games. He's going to have to be a physical presence on that defensive line.
He's on the milk carton.
I mean, he's nowhere to be found. And then Casey. Casey's been kind of injured a little bit, kind of banged up. But if those 2 guys come on and really put pressure on Indianapolis Colts, because Indianapolis Colts, they're nasty on offense too, but if they can put a little pressure on Brissett and make him feel uncomfortable in the pocket, then that's when the mistakes happen. That's when he fumbles. That's when he does the things that he's unfamiliar with. So if they can get a little pressure on him, make him feel comfortable, I think the Tennessee Titans can be successful in that area.
What have they done well when they do get pressure? And then what has been the problem when they're not getting pressure? Is it as simple, in my opinion, as when Casey shows up, this team gets pressure? And when Casey is out or Casey is double-teamed or Casey's having a tough game, it just feels like the quarterback for the other team can stand back there and just pat the ball.
I was watching – I watched the film of them playing the Colts last time here, and I was wondering why they wasn't getting any pressures because they're not getting off blocks. And when you don't get off blocks against a nasty offensive line, then they're gonna impose their will on you all day long. So I just think if Casey and Simmons and Landry and those guys can really get off the blocks, then now they can make Brissett feel uncomfortable in the pocket. And when he feels uncomfortable in the pocket, then now he's going to make those mistakes and fumble the ball like he occasionally does once in a while.
You brought up the offensive line for the Colts.
Mm-hmm.
All these good skill players may be out for Indianapolis.
Right. That's what I'm telling
the
you.
The offensive line's not. And Quentin Nelson is probably the best offensive lineman in the NFL. And to add with that, everybody else, Ryan Kelly, Braden Smith, Glowinski, etc., that has been a very solid unit for the last 2 years in the offensive line of the Colts. How worried are you of Indianapolis' offensive line being able to take over the game?
See, that's what when I told you at the beginning of the show, the one person that I was afraid of was Frank Wright. Because he may take this game to old-school football. Yeah, I have my playmakers out. Yeah, I have guys that haven't been playing as much as, like, T.Y. Hill and Ebron. So what I'm going to go? I'm going to go 21 personnel and just come downhill and mash you in the face. So that's why this game kind of scares me, because I know that they don't have their playmakers. I know we don't have T.Y. Hilton to catch the ball downfield. But guess what? Frank Wright in his mind is like, you know what? I know we don't have these guys, but let's just make this an old-fashioned stank, get after it, hit you in the mouth, bloody your nose football game. And that's exactly what the Indianapolis Colts are going to do.
What do we think of the Titans secondary? Malcolm Butler lost for the year. Following that, LaShawn Sims stepped up and did a really nice job for a couple of weeks in some tough circumstances, especially against Kansas City. Yeah. LaShawn Sims did a nice job. Looks like he's out for today, which means that Chris Milton, who was a special teams guy, he's been placed on IR.
Jeez.
They've elevated Kareem Moore from the practice squad. Expect maybe to see a guy like Ty Smith out there, or maybe Amani Hooker in an expanded role. Yes, he's a safety, but maybe in an expanded role defensively in the backfield. How worried are we about the injury now to Sims as he has replaced Malcolm Butler?
I mean, you're worried a little bit, but those guys are going to have to step up and play. But here's a guy that I've been proud of the last couple of weeks, is Adoree Jackson. Adoree Jackson shut down Chark, and Chark has a crazy name, and Conley shut him down last week. I mean, man-to-man, bump and run, and there was no separation. You know, I think with Dean Pease is really going to have to be smart with the secondary. I mean, if you go man-to-man with Parrish Campbell, I know you don't think he's going to beat you, but if you go man-to-man with Parrish Campbell, you better make sure you have somebody that can run with Parrish Campbell and Rodgers. So I think Dean Pease is going to have to make the right decision on what coverage he's going to have to use, disguise it, and kind of confuse Brissett and also those wide receivers.
What do they do without Sims, without Butler, with that? Do we trust Ty Smith if he has to go in there, a guy who has been inactive for a lot of weeks this season? What do we expect of the Titans secondary in that regard?
I mean, I expect them to be pretty good, but it all goes back to what the front is going to do. I mean, if the Tennessee Titans front could put pressure on Brissett, then those guys don't have to cover long. But if Brissett is sitting back there and, you know, having a cheese sandwich and a ginger ale and sitting there and picking his poison, then that's when those guys are not going to be able to cover, because even though they don't have T.Y. Hilton and those guys are still good yards after catch. So it all depends on what the front does, so it can help the back end of what the defensive backs can do.
Titans currently an underdog against Indianapolis, but I'll take the Indianapolis injuries over, or I'll take the Titan injuries right now over the Indianapolis injuries. But, again, still a development to keep your eye out on is that hole at corner with LaShawn Sims out. Now, Ty Smith does have experience. He did play a lot in that playoff run a couple of years ago, but is certainly not the player of LaShawn Sims and absolutely not the player that Malcolm Butler is.
I mean, you don't think the Indianapolis Colts are licking their chops, too, to say, you know what, you know, their two top corners are not there? And you don't think that Brissett is going to look for those matchups? And if he looks for those matchups, you don't think he's going to take a three-step drop and say, go get it, especially if we're going cover one or cover zero? So it's going to be important on what Dean Pease does in the secondary. If we're trying to put pressure on Brissett and load the box and bring the extra safety and just have, you know, Byer playing the free safety, if you do that, then you're putting pressure on those corners to have to cover. And that definitely can be a problem, because I don't know if the Tennessee Titans secondary can run with these guys.
What I wonder is how much playing time that means for a guy like Hooker.
Yeah.
Because I do wonder if, you know, Logan has been kind of the do-it-all defensive back. If the injury to Sims forces Logan to stay outside with Adoree Jackson, do they then bring in another safety? Because the one good thing is the versatility in both Byard and Vaccaro allows either one of those guys. They can man up in a slot.
True.
They can essentially play corner for you in a nickel or dime kind of role. You don't really want them to, but they can, and maybe that gives more opportunity for Amani Hooker to get out there on the field. Hooker had a nice play against Jacksonville last week, although if he was looking for the ball, he would have had a pick six.
Yeah, I mean, that's a common denominator right there is Hooker. Where are you going to put Hooker at? I mean, you know you got a Dory that may play on the outside and may come in nickel, so it all depends on what Dean Pease wants to do. if they can just cover those guys and the defensive front can put pressure, then now it takes pressure on that back end for those guys that have to cover a long time. So because Brissett has to get the ball out fast, and all they got to do is come up and let them catch the ball and make the tackle.
Final thought on the Colts offense. How much changes with T.Y. Hilton out today?
I mean, it's a big change because that's your guy that can take the top off the defense. So what guy can take the top off the defense? I know you say Parrish Campbell can't, so I think they may not try to throw the D-ball, but I think that Brissett is going to get the ball in Parrish's hand, Rogers' hands, and Pascal's hands and let those guys make plays.
I just don't think there is. I mean, that T.Y. Hilton, I think it changes the entire game.
It does, because that's your deep threat, a guy that can take the top off the defense, but they still have some good players. I mean, Parrish Campbell went second round. You're not going to be a good player if you're going second round.
I think A.J. has more receiving yards last week than Parrish Campbell has in his entire career.
Okay, can I be Floyd for a minute? Okay.
I mean, you can keep hammering Parrish Campbell.
I'm telling you.
Because y'all went to the same college.
No, I promise you. It's not because
of
that.
He has not done anything this year.
It's about opportunities, and he's going to get a whole bunch of opportunities today because they don't have their big play wide receiver.
Who's in, who's out for the Titans? We'll take a look at the inactives when we get them, plus a couple of big-name Titans done for the year. We'll discuss that next as well as when we get the inactives. That's coming up next. Live from the George Jones, Chris Sanders, Floyd out today. It is the pregame show right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are an hour and a half away from kickoff between the Titans and the Colts. A huge December AFC South showdown and a big game, not only for divisional implications, but, of course, the wild card.
Yes, sir.
And we go right to the injury report, right to the inactives, because we got some big names out today. Let's start with the Indianapolis Colts, because Chris Sanders, you've been banging the table all day. We know T.Y. Hilton's out, and he is inactive, so that is official.
Yeah.
But you've been saying, hey, watch out for Parrish Campbell. Watch out for Parrish Campbell, the rookie wide receiver taken in the second round by the Colts. Here's who's out for the Colts. Running back, Marlon Mack.
Wow.
Quarterback, Chad Kelly. Cornerback, Quincy Wilson. Wide receiver, T.Y. Hilton. Defensive tackle, Trevion Coley. Tackle, LaRaven Clark. And wide receiver, Parrish Campbell, is now out for the Colts. The Colts will be without Andrew Luck, who retired in August. They'll be without Marlon Mack, who broke his hand. They'll be without Eric Ebron, who hurt his ankle and is on IR. They'll be without Devin Funchess, who is on IR. They'll be without T.Y. Hilton, who hurt his calf. They'll be without, of course, now, Parrish Campbell.
I'm sorry.
How do the Indianapolis Colts expect to score points today?
There's another receiver I like, too. It's Marcus Johnson. I never heard of him. I just happened to see him on the depth chart. My whole mindset is done. I don't know, but it goes back to what I said at the beginning of the show. The head coach scares me. Because
this is the NFL in you that tells you no matter who's out for Indianapolis, no matter who they don't have on offense, they're still NFL players are still capable of beating other NFL players.
But if we lose to the Colts, then we have a problem. Yeah, I mean, we do. I mean, if you look at all the big – they're not just players that are out. They're like maybe 75% of your offense. What, T.Y. Hilton, Ebron. I mean, Mack. I mean, that's 75 to 80% of your offense. Then now you got to rely on guys that really haven't played that much, that are really not familiar with Brissett or not familiar with just the NFL. I mean, that's a tough task, but it goes back to what I said before. The one person that scares me is the head coach, is because he's going to have these guys ingrained into their mind that it doesn't matter who's up, the next man's got to step up and make plays. I know that's cliche-ish, but they're in a position where the next guy has to make plays.
Meanwhile, out for the Titans, cornerback LaShawn Sims, offensive lineman Kevin Pomfield, offensive lineman Honoris Grasso, defensive lineman Matt Dickerson, outside linebackers Reggie Gilbert and Derek Roberson, and wide receiver Tajay Sharpe is out today for the Titans. How big of a loss, Chris Sanders, is Tajae Sharpe to the mix?
I mean, he's been playing consistent football, but with him not being in there, I mean, it's not going to be too bad, because with the emergence of A.J. Brown, him making big plays and becoming that true number one wide receiver, I don't think it's going to make a difference.
I mean, if they can beat the Kansas City Chiefs without Corey Davis,
that's what I'm saying.
I'm not worried about beating the Indianapolis Colts without Tajae Sharpe.
I know.
The thing about Tannehill that I like is that it's just on to the next guy.
It's on to the next guy.
Guy gets hurt, fine. Raymond, step in there, and they'll throw the ball to Raymond. They'll throw the ball to Humphreys. They'll throw the ball to Anthony Firkser and Mycole Pruitt. Mm-hmm. And those guys have all made a difference. And the other thing in the passing game to kind of take note of is Deion Lewis had a nice little screen pass the other day. I mean, he really has done a good job of doing nothing this year.
Yeah.
But he has been added to the mix. Tannehill's just throwing it to whomever gets open.
I mean but that's what makes this offense that's why I see this offense getting better and better, because each guy can make plays each week. I mean, we look at last week when we had A.J. Brown, where he had, four catches for 153 yards. And then you have Humphreys that only had, like, three or four catches. Then the following week, then you have Humphreys that catches 9, and then you have A.J. Brown who catches 2. So it just shows you that anybody at any time is capable of making plays. I mean, even in the last couple of weeks, we really haven't heard a lot of what Smith is, Jonnu Smith. But he's capable of making those big plays because we've seen it earlier in the season.
So I want to go back to the Indianapolis injuries. And that is games last year. Mm-hmm. One was Indianapolis week 17. You wake up that day, you know it's a playoff for the play-in, or a play-in for the playoff. You're playing Indianapolis on Sunday Night Football. I mean, that is the game that has been flexed. That is win or go home. Mm-hmm. And you find out that morning Marcus Mariota's out. And I remember sitting up here on the stage and Floyd saying, Blaine Gabbert can make every throw that we would ask Marcus to make. And I remember looking at him like, you're crazy. But the truth is I think that's the coach in him, the GM in him, that is, you know, you walk in there and say Tannehill gets hurt.
Mm-hmm,
the
mm-hmm.
coach walks in and goes, hey, we're paying Marcus $20 million.
Yes,
we believe that Marcus will take a – like, do you really believe that Marcus gives you as good of a chance to win as Tannehill? No. But the coach would get up there in front of the team
right now.
And say, hey, we got every belief in Mariota coming into this game and making a big difference.
You know,
that's just the way that these coaches operate.
Yeah, no doubt.
But the feeling for me in that game was, boy, I don't know, with Andrew Luck, the way he was playing, I just don't know if the Titans without Mariota would have had the firepower to be able to beat Indianapolis. Today I look at Indianapolis and I look at them and what they don't have right now on offense, and I say, this is a Titan team that scored 42 points last week. This is a Titan team that has been racking up the points under Tannehill. I just don't know if the Colts have the firepower to keep up with the Titans.
Yeah.
And then I'm reminded of the Texan game last year where the Titans had all kinds of injuries on the offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
Mariota was out. Mm-hmm. And here come the Texans with Deshaun Watson, and Vrabel put together this crazy game plan that involved fake punts and Derrick Henry and the Wildcat.
Yeah.
And somehow, some way, the Titans found a way to win that game. So I'm looking at those two games, and it's like the two ends of the spectrum. One is you just don't have the firepower to compete. The other is lie, cheat, steal, find a way.
You know, that's why it's so important. And when we go through the draft and we go through free agency, that depth is so important. I mean, I know we don't look at it at the beginning and say, oh, we got to get this big-time player. But it just shows you last year when we didn't have the depth at quarterback, how inept what this Tennessee Titans was. I mean, when Marcus Mariota got hurt, Gabbert comes in. Look at how the transition happened.
And Gabbert's a fine backup quarterback, but he would not be able to keep
up
with Andrew Luck in a playoff game.
But look at the Indianapolis Colts. You got Luck that goes out, and then you have Brissett that's still been playing at a high level. So that's why it's so important for the general manager to make sure he drafts for depth. See, with these guys that we're talking about with the Indianapolis Colts, we got Marcus Johnson that we've never heard of. He may come out and have 200 yards because they maybe drafted him because they knew there was something in him that we like. I know you're looking at me like,
I bet you $5,000 right now Marcus Johnson does not have 200 yards.
I guarantee you. I say 100.
Chris Sanders.
Because, okay.
You did not know who the guy was before this segment.
That's what scares me, because the thing about it is they're going to match him up one-on-one with one of our defensive backs. You never know. This guy might have ran a 4.3 or 4.2, and we don't even know it. You see the point that I'm making? And I know people are like, what the heck? But if he runs a 4.2, he's on the team for a reason. And also, he started last week. So he's not going to be starting the NFL if he's not capable of making plays. That's the only thing that scares me.
Marcus Johnson.
Well, I don't even know where he's from.
Marcus Johnson.
Has played 18 career games. Okay. He has 16 catches for 194, three games this year, five catches for 47, including a touchdown.
Okay.
Marcus Johnson went to Texas.
Okay.
And was, let's see, not drafted. He's 25 years old. His one touchdown grab came against Jacksonville two weeks ago.
See?
He had four for 38 and a touch. So there's your Marcus Johnson facts of the day. Presented by, I mean, whomever. TD's coming up. The couple of other injury notes for the Titans that I do want to get to. Both Cameron Wake and Delanie Walker put on IR. Their seasons are over. Vrabel says he still expects both around in a leadership role. As far as Delanie Walker's concerned, does this feel like the end of his career?
I might not say the end of his career, but I think it's the end of being a Tennessee Titan. Because you got two tight ends in front of him that are playing very good ball. You got Firkser and you got Jonnu Smith that are playing great ball. So
yeah, Pruitt, I think, has done a pretty good job as a blocking tight end.
So where does Delanie Walker fit in? He doesn't really fit in now because he really hasn't played because he's been injured. But I think he's got the mentality of, do I want to continue to do this? And I think he does. So he's going to find another team to play with. And I think with Cameron Wake, I mean, I think he's done as a Tennessee Titan. And you can hear the innuendos of Mike Vrabel when he says they're going to be good leaders on this team this year. That means next year you're out of here because you can't play when you're hurt. So,
both guys, I think, also have, I don't want to say significant salaries, but significant enough salaries that if they're going to have to sign Ryan Tannehill to be the starting quarterback next year and sign Derrick Henry, sign Logan Ryan, and add those guys back into the mix – that's not going to help their case.
Exactly. I mean, that's just the sad part of NFL. It's not what have you done. It's
can
what
Delanie
done
really come back? I mean, we thought we said at Delanie's age, could he come back from the injury? Probably, but we'll see. And then they said he came back, but he never really was able to recover from the injury.
Yeah.
Now, 2 years removed, next season, will he be able to, at his age, to be able to improve and go 2 years essentially without really playing a lot of football?
I mean, it all depends on his mentality. And I shared this last week. If you have the mentality of luck, and this is not a shot at anybody. If you have the mentality of luck to say, you know what, I don't want to go through the grueling every day of going to do rehabilitation. I just can't do that. I don't want to do it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at Tiger Woods, that was in a wheelchair, couldn't barely walk, but had the mentality to say, you know, in spite of how I feel right now.
Tiger also doesn't play tight end in the NFL.
No, I understand, but he had a career-ending injury. So he's come back from a career-ending injury to say, you know what, I'm going to give it one more shot. So where in the middle is Delanie Walker? Is he one have the mentality of luck, or he has a mentality of Tiger to say, you know what, I want to try to give this thing one more chance?
Coming up next here on the show, we'll check in Indianapolis with Teron Davenport, ESPN.com. What are they talking about in Indy in terms of how they're going to score points today? We'll discuss that next with TD. Plus, our picks to click and Mike Vrabel's keys to the game are all coming up live from the George Jones. Chris Sanders, Floyd Reese out today. Jared Stillman, it's ESPN 102.5, the game. Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders live from the George Jones today. Come on out and join us. The George Jones will have all the football games on today downtown on 2nd Avenue, including that great Ravens 49ers game today.
Ooh, that's going to be a bowl. That's going to be good.
I'm like, can we get the Lions off of Thanksgiving? Put the Ravens and the 49ers there. So Chris Sanders is convinced that Marcus Johnson is going to make a difference today for the Indianapolis Colts. Says 100 yards for Marcus Johnson, and Chris Sanders just found out that Marcus Johnson existed two segments ago, but that's the state the Colts offense is in. No Andrew Luck, no Marlon Mack, no Eric Ebron, no T.Y. Hilton, no Devin Funchess, no Parrish Campbell. I don't know how they're going to score points. We're joined now by ESPN.com's Teron Davenport, who is at Lucas Oil Stadium. T.D., what are they saying in Indianapolis about how they plan to score points today?
Hey, look, I'm going to say this, right? It takes one to know one. I am impressed, Chris Sanders, that you mentioned Marcus Johnson. Marcus Johnson
Thank
got skills.
You. Come on.
Let me tell you. He got skills. He was solid at Texas. I
Talk
covered him
me,
for
Big
2 years in Philly, and he is a talented receiver. He runs really good routes to get you yards after the catch. He's very reliable. Frank Reich loves him, and that's why he's here in Indy. So
Thank you.
Let's clear that one up. He's a solid player.
Come on, man. That's my guy.
I'm just saying, TD, I don't doubt anything you say. Chris did not know this guy existed 30 minutes ago.
Hey, well, you know what? Here's the point. He knows he exists now. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
They call the present for a reason, because it is a present, and that's the time we're in. You know what I'm saying?
Teeny, what is the vibe like? I mean, I know that if, like, for the football people, like the Chris's and the coaches and the Floyds and those kind of people, I know that they always say, hey, it doesn't matter that Marlon Mack's out. It doesn't matter that T.Y. Hilton's out. It doesn't matter. Clearly, it's going to matter today. What is the vibe in Indianapolis like when you look at an offense that is literally lost what feels like 80% of its firepower?
Well, the vibe is the coaching staff is going to do everything they can to manufacture offense. But that being said, they're still going to stick to the plan. And their plan is to play conservative football, run the ball, pound the rock, and they still got guys that could do that. Jonathan Williams is no slouch. You know, you got Jordan Wilkins who could get you explosive plays. So I think they're still going to work that. You'll expect to see some play action. Frank Reich is a very good play caller, a very good play designer. So I don't think it's going to be as much of an advantage as it's being made out to be. This is a divisional game, so you know these are two teams that know each other inside out. And I tell you this much, in talking to the Titans, the players, the coaches, they're not taking it lightly. Even talking to John Robinson this morning, you know, I was talking to him, and he just mentioned the Any Given Sunday moniker. So there's parity in this league, and that's pretty much what it is, man. You don't underestimate any opponent.
You know, just looking at the Tennessee Titans defense, you know, last time that the Tennessee Titans played the Indianapolis Colts, they didn't really get to Brissett, and he made some key runs on third down. What does Dean Pease need to do to really put some pressure on Brissett to make him feel uncomfortable in the pocket?
I'll tell you exactly what they need to do. They need to rely a little more on the DBs, but with the sending them on blitzes, right? They did a couple things against who was that? Jacksonville. Last week against Jacksonville, they did a couple things where they rolled coverage, and then they were able to kind of get Kevin Byard out of one of the two high post safeties and drop him to the middle of the field. And Vaccaro actually played middle linebacker, and he blitzed. You know, that's something that you have to do. You have to really take advantage of Logan Ryan, right? You need to continue to send him off the edge in their sub-packages. That's something. You have to get Brissett off his block and just make him move around. But the key is when you get him off of that block and move around and you get your hands on him, you got to bring him down because that's a big dude, you know. And he could break a tackle and then throw the ball. They're going to try to push the ball down the field too, so really, it's all about getting that pressure with your DBs. And Harold Landry, you know, let's talk about it.
Ooh.
8 sacks, he's going to end up in double digits. And that guy, you know, how you watch the motorcycle racing and those guys when they turn the corner and they're basically going sideways, that's Landry coming off the edge. So he's another one.
Teron Davenport, ESPN.com, at Lucas Oil Stadium with us. LaShawn Sims inactive. We know that he had stepped up into that Malcolm Butler role after Butler's injury. How does that affect the secondary plans? Does that mean more time for Ty Smith, who had been a recent inactive? Or do we think maybe Amani Hooker gets more time and they shuffle the pieces around a little bit?
Well, I think it's going to be more time for Ty Smith. When I asked Mike Vrabel about that, he said that they're getting Ty Smith, Josh Kalu, and he mentioned Kareem Moore, who has tremendous ball skills. He mentioned him as another one that they're getting ready to get significant reps. And the thing is, you know, with Kalu and Ty Smith especially, you have those longer corners, so it makes it a little bit harder to throw the ball down the field. They'll be on the outside. You make a good point about Amani Hooker, you know, and that would probably be something that they'll go to their big nickel, right? And so this way you could have your sub package but still defend the run well. So I think that's something that they could definitely do. And I don't expect to see Dane Cruikshank play a lot of corner, but he was an outstanding corner when he first got to Arizona. So he's another guy.
You know, I just want to switch to the offense a little bit. I know the Tennessee Titans running game has been exceptional, and you know that the Indianapolis Colts are going to definitely try to step up and stop the run. On the perimeter, what receiver or what player needs to step up and take advantage of their secondary?
It's A.J. Brown. I think they need to without a doubt. You know, if you're talking on the perimeter, it's A.J. Brown. And the thing is, that play action that they work, you know, and they do that really well. And A.J. lines up in that cut split, and, you know, he runs that crosser, and the play action pulls the linebackers up, and you know, Tannehill throws an on-schedule pass and Brown catches it and does what he does after the catch. I mean, I felt A.J. Brown in this draft was the best yards after catch receiver, and I'm just glad that he's making me look kind of intelligent with what he's doing, you know what I mean? So, yeah, it's A.J. Brown without a doubt.
Teron Davenport is in Indianapolis. TD, we appreciate it, as always. We'll talk to you throughout the week. And, of course, look forward to all your content on ESPN.com and talking with TD, as always. TD, appreciate it, man.
Yeah, for sure. Appreciate
Marcus
it.
Marcus Jackson.
Chris, man. Number one seed for your Buckeyes, man. They keep doing it.
Hey, the Ohio State, baby.
You got it.
Here's a real question, TD. Did you pick Michigan going? Did you pick Michigan going in yesterday?
No. I'm a Fields fan, man. Fields is the real deal. So I'm rolling with Fields.
Sounds good, TD.
Appreciate you, man.
We'll
thank you, my friend.
Man.
All right, talk to you.
All right.
Yep, Teron Davenport, ESPN.com.
Can I get an apology real quick? Can I get an apology, please?
On Marcus Johnson?
Yes, please.
I don't know anything about Marcus Johnson.
I'm just saying, can I get an apology? I apologize to you. Can I get an apology, please?
Can we not wait to see if Marcus Johnson actually catches
just
a
need
pass
an apology,
today?
Sir. I just need an apology, sir.
I'm going to apologize. I'm sorry, Chris.
Thank you, sir.
Know wide receivers through and through, even though you didn't know who this guy was.
I had no idea.
The best is when you just go, who is Marcus Johnson? And then in the next segment, you say he's going to have 100 yards. If I didn't apologize to you there, okay. I'm worried that then I would have to eat that watching the game today and watching Marcus Johnson catch pass after pass. Goodness.
If he catches a touchdown, I'm going to dial your number like 5 times in a row. Call you. Say, go, Marcus.
I'm going to have to do the Floyd and pretend that I don't know what's going on my phone. Where I sit there and I go, I wasn't with my – I didn't know. You young people love your phones, and I'm Mike Floyd. You know exactly who called.
That's hilarious.
You know exactly what they're calling about. Coming up next, our picks to click for today. Who do the Titans need to have a big game? We'll get to that. Plus, of course, Mike Vrabel's keys to the game and much, much more. An AFC South showdown today between the Indianapolis Colts and the Tennessee Titans. That's coming up next. It's the pregame show live from the George Jones. It's ESPN 1025, the game. 1 hour to kick off between the big game. Chris, this feels like
an old school
Titans game. When I was a kid, you were on the team, and you knew it was a big game in a big spot in December against a Pittsburgh or Baltimore or Indianapolis or Jacksonville. Or it feels like an old school Titans game. We are 1 hour to kick off between the Titans and the Colts. Floyd out today, just Jared, just Chris Sanders. But it is time for our picks to click. Let's go back and take a look at last week. Who was picking to click? Chris Sanders, you had Taylor Lewan. Lewan with a humongous block on the 74-yard Derrick Henry touchdown run. It's kind of hard to look at a guy and say, you know, did he click when he was an offensive lineman? But I believe that what we saw out of Lewan and Saffold on the left side of the line may be the best we've seen all season out of
Just less penalties. The reason why they're playing consistent football is because if you look at earlier, they had so many penalties. Now they're not having as many, and they're playing consistent football.
What do we think about Lewan last week, the guy drawing the personal foul penalties and not getting the personal foul penalties?
I mean, it's about growing up. And I'm not saying growing up as a man, just growing up as a player. And when that situation happens, you don't want to be selfish and say, okay, I want to fight back. Just let them get the penalty, and then the scoreboard will take care of itself.
Meanwhile, you had Jarrell Casey as your defensive pick to click. Floyd went with the center and two guards, Ben Jones, Roger Saffold, Nate Davis. When Derrick Henry runs for almost 200 yards, you can't really fault the offensive line.
Right.
And he had Jarrell Casey and Jeffrey Simmons as his picks to click. I had Tajay Sharp and Rashawn Evans. Neither guy really did a whole lot of anything. So, Chris, we go to you today against the Indianapolis Colts, and we know the Colts are a hurt on offense. Who are your picks to click? We'll start with your offensive pick to click today.
I am going with Corey Davis. The reason why I'm going with Corey Davis is because since A.J. Brown has been playing well, consistent football, and making those plays that we wanted to see, I think that's going to leave a one-on-one with the Davis, and I think Davis is going to come up big and have a big game against the Indianapolis Colts.
So I do like to criticize Corey Davis because I never liked picking him where they did when they did. But
I have a hard time criticizing Davis right now because the rest of the offense is clicking really, really well, and Davis is catching the ball when it's thrown to him and making plays. He had a great downfield block on the A.J. Brown touchdown catch the other day, and I feel like if you get on a guy like Davis for not catching the ball, but don't highlight the other little things that he does well, it then makes that player not want to do those little things. If I'm only going to get credit for catching the ball and having yards and touchdowns, then why should I care about getting my butt down the field and springing a big block that allows A.J. Brown to run into the end zone? So while I have been critical of Davis in the past, it's hard for me right now to be critical of Davis because he is doing a lot of little things in spite of the fact that he's really not blowing games open as what you would expect the fifth overall pick in a draft to do.
I mean, he's an unselfish player. I mean, and those are the guys that you want on your team. You have a guy that's capable of making plays, and he's been unselfish in blocking for his teammates. I mean, it just shows you that he wants to win. That's the bottom line. But before you can catch the ball, what has to happen?
Got to get open.
No. It's got to be thrown to you. I mean, he's got to get attempts to make the plays, and he's just not getting them. I don't know if he's not getting open, kind of what you said, but he's got to get the opportunities.
I'm just saying, Tannehill has shown he'll throw the ball to anybody.
Yeah, but
so he's not playing favorites out there. But who is your defensive pick to click?
I'm going with Kevin Byard. And the reason why I'm going with Byard is I think if he watches Brissett's eyes and wherever his eyes go, I think he can pick off a couple of balls that can really change the game. I mean, I know he's been kind of quiet the last couple of weeks, but he's one of those players that shows up when the game is on the line. And I think that Byard's going to be huge in this game.
How much do you think Brissett may try to force the football today when you take into account all the guys who are out for him? Mm-hmm. We know they're going to force the run today. They are going to run the football to death today. You hope the Titans get up early in this football game so that they kind of take the run away. But at the same time, I do wonder how much Brissett's going to look to Doyle and look to Rodgers and look to Pascal and really try to force the football to those guys, and maybe that would help a guy like Byard when he knows that Brissett wants to throw it and Brissett's going to throw it, get out there and make a play.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to force the football. I think he's going to be smart with the football because just like with the guys that we named, we've never heard. But he's practiced with him. So if nothing's there, the smart quarterback that he is, he's going to throw the ball away. So I don't think he's going to really force it. Now, if the guy has tight coverage and you can throw it in the window, yeah, he's going to do that. But if he's double covered, he's not going to make the mistake for Byard to make the play. I just contradicted myself.
Picks to click again, presented by Wholesaling, powered by RumbleOn.com. I'm going on offense with Jonnu Smith.
You didn't even like him at the beginning of the season.
This season I didn't have a problem with him, but last season, yes, I did not like him at the beginning of last season. Jonnu Smith has taken the opportunity. Last year when Delanie Walker got hurt, Delanie came out and said, "This is Jonnu's opportunity to take my job." Mm. Well, Jonnu didn't do a whole lot with it last year. This year, Jonnu has run with the opportunity. And I don't know if it's him maturing as a player. I don't know if it's the fact that Arthur Smith, his former position coach, is now the offensive coordinator. And I don't know how much of it is Ryan Tannehill and how Tannehill has constantly gotten Jonnu the ball. But Jonnu Smith is a different player this year. And I think in this Tampa 2 defense that Indianapolis runs, they don't want to get beat deep. But that'll leave it open under the middle, especially with all of the concentration and effort they'll put on Derrick Henry, which makes me think Jonnu Smith, who is a huge run-after-the-catch guy, could have a big game today.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you 100%, but it goes back to opportunities. And if you look at this year, when he had the opportunity to catch the ball and had the opportunity to make plays, he delivered. And I think that's the difference. You know, early in his career, he wasn't getting that many opportunities because Delanie Walker was taking away those opportunities because Delanie Walker earned those catches. Now he's in a position to where he can be a dominant force with his capability of catching the ball in yards after catch.
The one thing Jonnu's got to stop doing, though, are the penalties that hurt you in big spots. I mean, last week he had a holding penalty that took a touchdown off the board.
Oh, yeah.
And it, when you go back to it, Jonnu didn't even need to hold the guy.
Yeah.
And those are the things that still, every now and then, they were more prevalent earlier in his career, but every now and then they come back and haunt. My defensive pick to click, Harold Landry III. Landry has been playing great. He's got 8 sacks on the year. He's got to get to 10 for the Titans. I know Indianapolis and their stout offensive line that they have circled Harold Landry. And they say, do not let this guy beat us.
But Chris Sanders, how many times did you go into games where teams circled Javon Kearse and said, do not let this guy beat us? Not to say that Landry's Javon Kearse, but if Landry's going to be a true, bona fide, legit pass rusher in this league, he's going to have to be able to do it when the other teams are keying on him. Today, I think Indianapolis keys on Landry, and I think he gets it done.
Yeah, but it all goes back to where Dean Pease has him lined up. I mean, he can have him in a nine technique, or he can have him, you know, wherever he wants to put him. Because, you know, the offensive line still has a slide to where he's at. They can't slide every position to where he's at. So I just think wherever Landry is at, he's just got a wreck shop. I mean, I know we've been talking about his rushing skills. His skills have been great. But the one thing I love about Landry is wherever the ball's at, he's there. I mean, if it's a fumble, if somebody needs to get tackled, he's always there. And it just shows you that this guy is like an energizer bunny. He keeps going and going and going.
And he has had a great season so far. Those are our picks to click. Chris going Corey Davis, Kevin Byard, yours truly, Mr. Handsome, going Jonnu Smith and Harold Landry, the third. Picks to click, presented by Wholesale Inc., powered by RumbleOn.com. Titans and Colts today, a big game, Chris Sanders,
yes, sir,
as far as the standings are concerned. If you look at the wild card right now, the Titans in there with a mix of teams sitting at 6-5. I feel pretty confident that New England, Baltimore, and most likely Kansas City, who hosts Oakland today at 2:45 on ESPN 102.5 The Game, I feel pretty confident that New England, Kansas City, and Baltimore are going to make the playoffs and most likely win their divisions. Those three teams feel pretty good. I feel confident after Thursday that Buffalo is going to win the first wild card in the AFC South.
Yeah.
I mean, excuse me, in the AFC. Now, they still have a game against Pittsburgh coming up in a couple of weeks, and I think they've got a game against Baltimore and another game against New England. So they're going to get battle-tested, but they're already sitting at 9 wins before the start of December. I feel like Buffalo, of course, who also has a tiebreaker over the Titans, I feel like Buffalo is going to make the playoffs as one of the wild card spots, which means that there are essentially two spots left open in the AFC. The AFC South, where the Titans find themselves one game behind right now, behind Houston, who plays New England later tonight, and then tied with Pittsburgh, Indianapolis, and Oakland, and Cleveland is one game behind, playing Pittsburgh today, but you have the tiebreaker over Cleveland. I know the Titans themselves, Chris, can't worry about what anybody else does, but Pittsburgh plays Cleveland. You play Indianapolis, Oakland plays Kansas City today, and Houston plays New England. This could be a monumentally big day for the Titans.
But you know what the cool part about the whole thing is the Tennessee Titans control their destiny. So regardless of what all those teams do, if they win, they whatever, it doesn't matter. If the Tennessee Titans start today with beating the Colts, next week beating the Raiders, next week beating who do they have?
Texans.
They got the Texans. And then they have
New Orleans,
and then they have the Texans again, right? So if they just win their game, if you win, you're in. So that's the cool part of the whole scenario. I know, you know, Cleveland's got all that stuff, Pittsburgh, all that stuff is great. But if I'm looking as a player, and I'm looking at my schedule, and all I have to do is win these games, I know it's easier said than done, but if I just win these games and I'm guaranteed in, let's go get it, baby.
And that's a good feeling to have. But I think what I look at today is how the playoff chips could crumble, you know, how that all of that could shake out from this standpoint. And that is, if the Titans win, they'll now be ahead of Indianapolis by a game. And if the Texans lose to New England, which I think a lot of people think the Texans are going to lose to the Patriots, if they do, then you're tied for the division lead, and you've got two games against Houston. And if Kansas City beats the Raiders, that game in Kansas City, if Kansas City beats the Raiders, then the Raiders would be behind you going into the game next week against the Raiders. And then you've got Pittsburgh playing their third-string quarter. I mean, that is a good feeling if the Titans can win today.
I just don't want it to come down to the last game like it did last year, to the Indianapolis Colts, that we have to win to get in the playoffs. I don't want it to come
down. As a player, you don't like the idea of, hey, we win this game, we're in.
Yeah, because, no, I mean, yeah, I do like that, but you don't want, that's when the pressure comes. I mean, you don't want to have to go to Houston on the road to have to win that game to get in. Why don't you just win all of them or win the ones you're supposed to win and get in the playoffs? I mean, it's right there for the taking, and that's what I love about how the schedule's set up. If you just win these games, it doesn't matter what anybody else does, we're definitely in the playoffs, and now it's 0-0 in the playoffs.
How do you feel about these other games? How do you feel about New England today against Houston? How do you feel about Pittsburgh with a third-string quarterback against Cleveland? And how do we feel, obviously, about the Raiders and the Chiefs.
I think Houston's going to beat the Patriots because it's in Houston. And the reason why I say this is because Houston lost last week, and you know they're going to be chomping at the bit to come back and try to prove themselves. And you got the only team that I'm really not impressed with, I know they're to their third-string quarterback, is the Pittsburgh Steelers. I know their defense is going to keep them in it and all that, but I think the Cleveland Browns are playing some good football. I know they have a lot of things going on. I know the head coach, you know, is controversial and wearing a shirt that says, you know, we didn't start the fight, you know, when they went against Pittsburgh and all that crazy stuff. But if they just settle down and play ball, that's a team that I'm a little afraid of because they have some weapons and they have a good defense.
By the way, an interesting roster move for the Titans over the week. The Titans have two active kickers today. Uh-oh. Ryan Succop is active and Ryan Santoso is active. Number three, I believe Santoso will handle kickoffs today, and Succop will probably handle field goal attempts. I do wonder who the 50-plus kicker is, but a younger kicker is coming. The Titans with two active kickers today against Indianapolis. Seems kind of odd.
No, it's really not odd because if you look at the games around the league, look at the games that's been lost. They've been lost by special teams. By a block kick or a block field goal or a missed field goal or a missed PAT. So I just think this is a security blanket, you know, just to help Succop because Succop's been doing okay with the field goals, but he's been struggling with the kickoffs. I mean, the kickoffs have been really, really short. So you got to get somebody that can kick it far enough to where it can be a touchback because if you kick it short and they catch it at the 20, all of a sudden they're at your 25 because they have a good return. That's a concern.
Especially in this game where you do not want Indianapolis to get life off of a field goal off of a kickoff return or something crazy like that. Titans and Colts coming up next on the pregame show. Mike Vrabel's keys to the game, our keys to the game, and, of course, our game day picks. That is all coming up live from the George Jones. And, by the way, that Raiders-Chiefs game, Raiders at Chiefs, the late afternoon game, can be heard starting at 2:45 right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. So after the Titan game is over, if you're in your car running errands, maybe you're going to take the car and go back home or come back, whatever, we've got Raiders at Chiefs right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chris Sanders, Jared Stillman, it's the pregame show live from the George Jones on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Titans and Colts at the top of the hour on CBS. Meanwhile, a lot of big games around the NFL today, but it is time now for Mike Vrabel's Keys to the Game. Jared Stillman and Chris Sanders live at the George Jones for the pregame show. We take a look at what Mike Vrabel says are the big keys for a Titans victory. We start with his first key, Chris.
Yes, sir.
Which is, now we know Marlon Mack's out.
Yeah.
But Jonathan Williams is in. Nyheim Hines, etc. Stop the run.
They've been able to run it with anybody that's in there. They have a very good offensive line. It's a line that's been together since really last year. Two really good guards, a great center. They've been able to run it on everybody. So it'll be critical that we're able to stop the run to put these guys in third and long situations.
What do you think about the Titans and their ability to stop the run? Vrabel makes that key number one going into this game. Yeah. You know that means that's key number one that he's been hammering with the players, stop the run today.
Yeah, but there's one quote that he said that really jumps out to me when he said, we can run it with anybody in there. Basically,
he's talking about the Colts.
Yeah, the Colts. Actually, the Colts. He said we can run it with anybody in there. I mean, when the Colts have a dominant offensive line like that, it just shows you that they don't matter who's in the backfield. But I think with the Tennessee Titans, if you look at last time they played us, it wasn't that we wasn't physical. It wasn't that we didn't make plays. It was our tackling. We just got to tackle. Mm-hmm. If we just tackle Williams or Hines or who's ever in the backfield, then now we can be successful. So it's not what the Colts can do. It's what the Tennessee Titans can do, tackle and fundamentals.
One thing the Titans struggled with in the first matchup between the Titans and the Colts was getting off the field on third down.
Right.
Now, they had a hard time, 1-for-10 on their own third downs, but they had a hard time getting off the field on third down. Mike Vrabel's second key of the game is get off the field on third downs.
This team here is with Indy. You know, they're a top 10 third down because they operate in third and short, third and medium, and they'll go fast. It'll be important for us to be ready for tempo on third down. That's something that's part of their package. And getting off the field is going to be huge.
So you hear Vrabel say right there, they're good at staying out of third and long. I want to say they converted some pretty big third and longs in the first matchup against the Titans. I'm with Mike Vrabel here. Getting off the field early especially is going to be critical in this game because I see this being a field possession game early, and the Titans need to be able to win it. And how do you do it? You stop them on the first third and long. They punt from their own 13-yard line, and now you have decent field position.
Yeah. I mean, the thing about it is we want to keep them behind the chains. And when I say keep them behind the chains, you want them at third and 9, third and 10, third and 11, because now it takes them out of the game. But when it starts to be third and 1, third and 2, then it's a manageable third down that they're capable of making, because they have a disruptive offensive line. We had a disruptive offensive line, physical, nasty. 2 yards ain't nothing to them. But if you put Brissett and those guys in third, 9, 10, 11, then now you give the Tennessee Titans an advantage.
The third and final key, which was a humongous problem before Tannehill took over.
How big was it?
Oh, it was a big problem. And has been a big strength since Tannehill has taken over, is success in the red zone offensively. Mm-hmm. And Mike Vrabel says they are going to have to, again, continue to be effective in the red zone.
It is. It's something that's been our strength, and I'd like to think that this is going to be strength versus strength. This is something that they've done a very, very good job of not allowing touchdowns, and it's something that when we get the ball down there, we're going to have to score touchdowns like we have. Start a new streak over again, hopefully this week after what we did last week.
How important is the red zone? We know it's important, right. But the Titans seem to, I don't want to say be automatic with Tannehill, but he just finds a way to get the ball in the end zone.
But see, it's not just Tannehill. It starts with the running game. I mean, when you have Henry running the ball extremely well, then now it sucks up those linebackers, even though it's in the red zone. I mean, look at the run that he had last week. It was a bootleg. It was perfect the way he put the ball in Henry's pocket, and then he took it away, and then he ran on the bootleg because there was nobody there because everybody sucked up. That's the same thing with the Tennessee Titans got to do. If they run the ball, then now they creep up in the box. Then all of a sudden you throw those short passes to A.J. Brown, Corey Davis, Jonnu Smith, because the run game has been so potent.
Now it's time for our keys to the game. Chris Sanders, your keys to a Titans victory today.
I've been saying it all year long. Is the Tennessee Titans, they have to start fast. And I know that I keep saying that's cliche, but this is a divisional game. You can't start slow. You can't say, okay, well, it'll be 7-3 or 3-0. They need to jump out and be 10-0, 17-0, so they can put pressure on their defense. Number two, they got to convert third downs on offense. You know, last time they played the Indianapolis Colts, they were 1-10. If they convert third downs and have a long drive, 10 to 12 play drive, and then score 7 points as opposed to 3, I think they could be successful on defense. They got to stop the run. We talked about that. They got a nasty offensive line. They got to stop Williams or Hines or who's ever in the backfield. They got to stop them and put Brissett in a position to where he fumbles the ball and make mistakes.
Okay, I'll go with in Tannehill we trust. Tannehill has been – I was actually going to go with start off fast because I agree with you. Yeah. I think they need to get a lead, take that running game away from the Colts.
Right.
I'll go with in Tannehill we trust. Ryan Tannehill has absolutely been lighting it up since he's been added to the mix at quarterback. But his 4 victories as Titans starter, 4 home games.
Yes, sir.
They were not good. Now, he was good, but they were not good on the road at Carolina in his 1 loss as a Titans starter. They've got to do it on the road, got to manage the environment in Indianapolis. It's going to be loud. It's going to be crazy. Convert third downs early. Mm-hmm. In Tannehill, we trust is where I go in terms of my key to the game. Well, I stole that from the McDonald's. They put it on the board outside. They put in Tannehill, we trust.
Yeah, I mean, he's been playing good ball.
He's been balling. He has been balling.
But then I don't want you screaming in 2 weeks if he throws 2 picks and 2 picks next week.
I like Tannehill. I mean, I don't love him. I'm not ready to sign him to a long-term deal yet, but I like him. Now it's time for our game day picks. Who wins today and why? Yeah. Floyd Reese out today. Pick the Titans on Jared and the GM on Wednesday. So we'll go with his standard 41-40. But we'll go Floyd Reese picking the Titans 41-40. Chris Sanders,
yes, sir.
Who wins today? What is the final score and why?
I'm going with the Tennessee Titans 24-10. I think the Tennessee Titans have been playing phenomenal ball on every facet of the game. On offense, they've been running the ball with Henry. On defense, they've been playing bend, not break defense. I just think we're right now on paper, I say this, we're just a better team. And we got to play like we're the better team. We got to play like we're better on offense. We got to play like we're better on defense. We got to play like we're better in special teams. So I just think that we just have too much firepower for the Indianapolis Colts. So it's 24-10 Colts.
Now, I don't want to get called pancake or a flip-flopper.
You are a pancake, buddy.
On Wednesday on Jared and the GM, I picked the Colts because I do believe that there is some kind of curse, the Colts curse. And the Titans just, for whatever reason, struggle with Indianapolis. But when I saw T.Y. Hilton out, that was enough for me to change how I feel. I'm going to go tight. I was originally going to go Colts 23-20. I'll go Titans 23-20 today. The Titans get it done in Indianapolis. I think they win this game. Indy simply does not have the firepower in order to compete.
Okay, what's the definition of a pancake? You flip it one side and you flip the other, right?
T.Y. Hilton's what injury is just, a big deal to
oh
me.
My God.
That's going to do it for us. Big game today, Raiders at Chiefs. That game right here on ESPN 102.5. The game, the pregame starting at 2:45. Morning Drive will have your first reaction. Jared and the GM, of course, will be at 2 o'clock with, of course, the midday show. Darren, Donick, and Chase right there in the middle tomorrow for all of your Titans-Colts reaction. That's it for us. It's ESPN 102.5. The game.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big.